Ta-da! Good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Just say in the chat, because we can't hear you.
What? Well, you all should be cheering and jumping up and down, because we're here.
Hi, my name is Michelle Mraz.
There you go. Now you're following the cues. And I'm Brian Swanson.
We're Denim and Pearls. We're a business casual.
With pearls of wisdom.
From the porch.
From the porch.
We are running a little late today, but not. You see, we decided, we consciously decided that we are going to go to a networking event in town in Colorado Springs to support some friends. And then we were going to come do the show afterwards. So here we are for you.
Never a dull moment in our lives.
No.
You know, and I think that kind of goes around to what we're talking about today, being around the world or all around the world and
It's I've been around the world and I can't find my baby.
Did you find the key?
Yes.
You were searching for the key. I could see it in your head.
I did. I was looking. Anyway, all around the world.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about how really down. Anyways,
so this is just a musical series this evening.
We are talking about how travel expands your mind and expands your perception of other people and therefore gets you out of your comfort zone to see from a different perspective. Now, people think, travel, you're just going out there to have fun. But no, traveling is a complete learning experience no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And this we brought this whole topic in because Brian and I are spouses and us. Is that even language?
Our spouses and us?
We are taking our spouses and we are all going on a cruise in July.
Uh-huh. And it's a karaoke cruise. You got to specify that.
Yes.
We're going for the whole purpose of karaoke and the Caribbean.
In the Caribbean. It's a Virgin Line. But anyways, we are going and our spouses have agreed to go on a karaoke cruise with us, which is pretty cool.
It's my first cruise. Is yours?
It's my first cruise.
Is it really?
It is. I've never been... I'm on a boat. No, I've never been on a boat.
I want to use the line so we can lose our virginity together.
Oh, yuck. cruise lines. But what's funny about this is what we learned today, what I learned today, is Brian has never had a normal passport. Mm-hmm. You know he's military, right? He was military, so active
retired
duty.
Military.
He traveled around with a military ID card. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to go on a cruise. He's like... Okay, what do you need? Well, we need this, and a passport. He went, huh? I don't have a passport.
I've never owned a passport. I've never had to, because everywhere I went, I typically went military charter in some way, shape, or form, and I was always on orders.
So now he's a civilian.
Yeah, so I've never, you know, like my wife and my daughter went to Europe for my daughter's graduation, which was really cool, but little old me didn't go.
They didn't take him.
So I didn't need one. So I had to finally break down and get a passport.
So thinking about passports and traveling around the world and how to broaden your horizons as business people, as entrepreneurs, don't put in your brain that you don't have time to travel, because part of your experience of an entrepreneur or a business person is to understand other people and their perceptions of the world.
Well, what I don't understand, and I think we talked about this a long, long time ago in one of our shows, because you realize how many shows we got. We got like 170 shows.
Oh, I don't know that.
It's crazy nuts. I'll have to actually see what the number is. But if you look back at some of the stuff we talked about before, I never understood how anybody could live in the same town, in the same house they were raised in, by mom and dad's house, and never leave, let's say, the area, let alone the state. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might travel in a 25-mile radius of their house, but they don't do anything else. They don't adventure out beyond what they know. I mean, that's real true meaning to being in the box.
Exactly. So if you're one of those people who have never left town, leave town.
You would think, and I know there's people who don't, but you would think there's people who would go, I at least want to go to Michigan and figure out, see what's there, especially if they live in Indiana. I mean, it's just to drive up the road because it can be different, or go down, you know, go on the other side of the Mississippi, go through the Golden Arch or the Gateway Arch, to, you know, the gateway to the west, the arch in St. Louis.
Yeah, because we're not saying you have to travel all around the world and then, no.
Exactly.
Just leave your norm. Just leave your norm.
Leave the nest.
Yeah, leave the nest. Because the important thing about travel is experiencing how other people see things. So something as simple as
I cover up the logos.
Yes, please. But it's kind of obvious what it is. Anyways.
Not if you're not from around here or California.
That is true.
It's not green.
That's true.
Anyway.
So anyways, I spent many, many years in Nebraska. Just driving across the border into Iowa was a whole different world. They spoke differently, the way they said petrol instead of gasoline. I mean, just little simple things like that.
Coke instead of soda.
Yeah, it was, there's small things that you learn. And so when you learn from about other people in other areas outside of your own area, you will understand that when you're dealing with people from the outside, if you're dealing with clients, you learn, oh, you sound like you're from the East Coast. Oh, you sound, oh, and you can relate to them better.
Well, I hate to bring this up, but I think our politicians are like that. They only know Washington, D.C., I think. Even though they're, you know, our senators and stuff from all kinds of different states. But I think, you know, they live in Washington. That's where it's at. And they sit behind a desk and they never go out there to see what's truly going on in other states and in their other countries and how the American people actually live. They just think they know. And then they make these funky rules up.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, here's something that really tanned my hide. Do you remember back when they were saying they wanted to get rid of all SUVs because SUVs were bad?
Oh, the gas mileage?
The gas mileage, and it was bad for the environment. We need to get rid of SUVs.
Yeah.
People who made that rule do not live in Colorado.
Or trucks.
Yeah, they wanted to get rid of trucks too. And in Colorado, the rest of you, where you are, you probably have flowers and green grass, right? We just had a blizzard, okay? And then yesterday we had a hailstorm. And so the thing is when you make rules and decide on things by never traveling outside of what you know, someone from California who has 24-hour a day, 365-day sun does not understand that we get negative 60, 6 feet of snow.
And in the morning.
In the morning, and you can't get out of your driveway.
It's 75 by the end of the day.
But you're waiting for someone to come plow the streets so you can get out of your driveway. And it took you an hour to plow your driveway to get out. We need trucks. We need cars that are more than a foot mm-hmm. off the ground, because if it isn't, we aren't leaving.
Four-wheel drive.
Yes.
I mean, that's just on the streets, too.
But that was one of the things that kind of messed me up was, we're getting rid of all this. We're all going electric. If you ever come to Colorado, you will find that there will be parts in Colorado once you leave Denver, and sometimes in parts of Colorado Springs, you have no cell service. If there's no cell service, there is no computer service for your electric car. So things like that, you know, like the Tesla has to have updates.
Oh, yeah.
If you're driving in Colorado.
Yeah, if you live in the mountains and don't have a signal, you can't update your car.
You can't update your car. Your car stops.
You have to come into town once a year.
And there's things like we have to drive 2 hours to find a plug that can handle plugging in a car. So making rules from not seeing any other state. We aren't gas guzzling fools that hate the environment. It's necessity.
Well, another one is, too, I'm going to make it a little less political. Okay. Just a little bit. When I was in the military, I did construction. So I did surveying and buildings, and we did remodels of buildings, interior, and different things like that. Well, we had some engineers, some of them civilians, some of them military, who would sit behind a desk, look at a piece of paper, make their design up, and they got paid big bucks to do this. Okay. It was my job, though, to look at that and go, hey, have you done a site visit? Have you actually gone out to the building and looked at the building, because this is not what the building looks like, and then come back and go, okay, fix it, or get off your duff, get out from behind your desk and in that stupid little cubicle gopher hole and go see what the facility looks like now, because change things happen. It's not always exactly the way it was built in the first place, because after 20 years people like to put up stuff and not tell you about it.
Well, and I met a man from who speaks at the UN.
Met a man from Nantucket.
No, he speaks at the UN, and I think he ruffled some feathers, but he said, say he's from Ghana or something like that. And he's like, they decide to build schools. Ghana needs schools. And it's a Western group that's deciding this. Ghana needs school. Yes, Ghana needs school. Let's make some money. We're going to do this. We're going to go in there. We're going to build them the state-of-the-art school. He says, the UN sends in all this money and they send in all their contractors and they build a gigantic concrete building with tile floors and Western plumbing and electricity toilets. And toilet. Yeah, it's a plumbing and a computer hookups and blah, blah, blah. He is. And then they leave. He says, our sewage system can't handle the toilets they put in. We don't have the grid to hold, turn the lights on in the building. So we are using our lanterns. He says, and then they have all these computer plugs. We don't even know what it is because we have one computer in the entire town. So I've been around the world and it's important to travel and do and see and experience and see what people really want in their lives before you make decisions on what they need.
Well, I've been around the world. I haven't been all the way around the world because I went one way and went the other way and I never met in the middle for whatever reason.
So I went to the middle.
I never went to the middle. But I love, once you get outside the United States, you see a different lifestyle. You see, and it varies from country to country, but a good portion of them, they don't really have refrigerator storage and freezer storage where they can put half a cow in their freezer in their home. So what they do, they eat on a daily basis and they shop on a daily basis. They go down to the market and they pick something up in the open market and they pick something up and then they go home with it and that's what's for dinner. And then the next day they're back down at the market again. It's the same thing over and over. We don't do that here in the United States because we've got refrigeration.
Yes.
You know, now I don't know how some of the, I never understood how, call it a farmer's market, if you will, can have all these vegetables, but they're always the same vegetables and they never go bad. You ever notice that?
Because they don't have all this stuff on
them. I don't know what it is.
Well, growing up in the Philippines, that was a whole thing because we had a refrigerator, but we didn't use it like Americans use it. Mm. I mean, because it didn't get as cold. And I know that sounds really weird. It didn't get as cold. And then we had a freezer that was just for frozen things, but it wasn't right. Like meat. We put ice.
Oh, strictly ice. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then when I moved to Germany, the refrigerators are, you know, the little tiny refrigerators that we have in hotels. That's right. The size of the refrigerators in Germany because we have open markets because yep. The meat truck comes by and you get your fresh meat. There's mm-hmm. So many different things you learn when you go to other countries that if you live in America and you've never been outside of America, you have no clue when people say, oh, I will never eat that. No, they're never going to eat it because that's not what they're used to.
Well, that's like one of the big things they're talking about now is they're trying to get rid of because of the footprint, all that stuff, whatever it is, they want to get rid of cows, et cetera, et cetera. So they're trying to figure out how they can harvest. Emission. Yeah, right.
Their gases.
The farting cows. they want to get rid of that, and they expect us to maybe eat bugs. So they're trying to figure out how they can make a steak out of bugs so that we transition into eating bugs. Now, how many of us around in this country are going to eat bugs?
Well, in Japan, they eat cultured worms. They make them into meat patties.
Yeah, it's disturbing, but they're trying to do that so they can get rid of the cow. But I'm telling you what, a worm patty and a hamburger, I'm sorry, there's a big difference.
You can't taste
the even difference. If they taste different.
You can't taste the difference.
Right, or taste even if they taste the same, though, the way that it processes within your system and everything else. So if you're one of these people who, if you think about the blood diets, who has to have red-blooded meat protein,
I've never heard of a blood diet.
You've never heard of a blood diet?
No.
Oh, yeah. If there's a way to get tested to find out whether does your body require red-blooded protein?
So as people
in beef?
Like with porphyria?
What's that?
Porphyria.
What's
it was
that?
A disease that actually what caused what people think were back in the olden days where they started saying people look like vampires because they needed blood. There's an actual disease called porphyria where they need red meat in order to, their bodies won't process other things or they need high sugar content and a lot of meat had, they would eat meat and sugar. And one of the symptoms were they were very gangly, tall, pale. They had long fingernails and they were very gaunt. You didn't know that?
Well, no, but you're going off on a disease. I'm talking about
it's a diet.
It's a diet. That some people in their systems can eat vegetables. They can be a vegetarian or a vegan or whatever, you know, they can be that and their body is perfectly fine with it. But there's guys like me that my knees will ache or my elbows will hurt or my shoulder hurts if I don't get enough red meat.
Well, like me, I got violently ill.
Yeah.
So I went vegan for a couple of years and my body would not process iron. protein. What? It would not go in my body with legumes and all that. They even started giving me pills to try to supplement it, and my body would not accept it. But now, I mean, I eat 2 ounces of meat a week, and I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah,
but all the supplements and the vegan diet did not work for my body.
You can be tested for a blood diet to find out what your body requires.
I think they call it a blood diet. I think they call it eat for your blood type.
Something like that. I've always heard it called a blood diet.
Yeah, so. It's eat for your blood type.
It's not a you need to drink blood diet.
Yeah, no, like O positive or something like that.
There
like
is actually a guy I just seen on the news here, not on the news, but on a Discovery Channel thing or whatever, who actually does that. He actually has to have his system is built up that he's like a vampire. And that's what they were talking about. He has to have so many ounces of blood a week. So he actually has donors who come to his house. He medically, you know, preps them or whatever the case may be, pricks them and then sucks their blood out. And they come to his house just for that. And he pays them as a blood donor.
Because that's what his body needs.
Because he feels that's that his very body rare,
okay?
Needs
so if you're listening to this thinking you want to be a vampire, because I know there's an entire society of vampires. Our sweet friend Raven went to a vampire party. There are a lot of vampires out there. No, that's not what we're saying. Do not go around asking.
I mean, unless you want to be a vampire.
Stop. But what we're talking about is traveling around the world and understanding that people are different. People are vastly different than Americans. And even in America, going across our gigantic nation is different. You will meet people with every accent, what they do naturally is completely different from the next state over. Our country is so big that you will see a little bit of everything. And
well, the South is different than the North, and the East is different than the West. I mean, it's
So what I'm saying is, if you grew up on the East Coast, go see the West Coast. Go through. If you're on the West Coast, do the other thing.
Talk from
if you're in the middle, go through the go around. Because I met someone who, let's say, grew up in New York, only knows the gigantic skyscrapers and the Broadway shows. Everything's big and loud in New York. And then they came to Colorado, to Denver, and they're like, "Why, this is a little tiny town." Well, to most of us, Denver is freaking huge.
Well, I'm thinking of your experience with the taxi cab.
Yes, but to New York, it's nothing. So what he's talking about with my experience in New York, we don't have Ubers. Really, here in Colorado, we're so far apart on everything that if you get an Uber, you're going to be paying a lot of money to get from one place to the other. Usually, it's very rare. So anyways, I go to New York and I get into an Uber and we're driving into Times Square. The line of cars is so massive that you cannot see the end of it. And we're driving and driving and then we're barely driving. Let me say, we are crawling. People on the street were passing us. And the Uber driver says, get out of the Uber. I said, what? He goes, you're going to get there faster. Just walk the 10 blocks up. I said, 10 blocks? He goes, trust me, you'll be in this car forever. Walk. I started walking. And we exchanged phone numbers because we became friends in the traffic. And as I'm walking, I finally get to my destination, 10 blocks up. And he calls me. He says, look right. I look right. And he had just gotten to where I was. I walked there faster than he drove there.
Nice.
But people in the Midwest can't even comprehend that kind of traffic.
Oh, no.
We get upset when you're driving on the street and you see 6 cars. It's like, oh, where are all these people coming from? New York does. If there's not 5,000 cars, what's wrong? So understand that people are coming from different perspectives. So when you're doing your business, understand where they're coming from will also help you understand how they react to you.
I'm also thinking too, you know, as speakers, we have different audiences. And you always have to understand, and if you don't understand, you're not a good speaker, but you always have to understand your audience too. I mean, that's a given. I mean, are you talking to kids? Are you talking to business professionals? Are you talking to a bunch of lumberjacks?
Well,
it's always different.
Well, the thing with speaking, any business, and this is not racial profiling. What I know you're probably thinking that right now, but if
I wasn't actually going there, but okay.
No, I'm talking to the audience.
Oh,
if I go south, if I'm speaking in Georgia, I will not speak at the same pace I'm speaking at in New York.
Can you speak with a Southern accent?
Yes, I can. I can speak with a Georgia accent. And so what I do is I will change the way I talk. Because I cannot talk like this, because when I'm talking really fast and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. The Southern dialect is slower.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're getting in trouble. Ask grandma. Grandma gets really fast. So my thing is know who you're talking to so you know the pace you're speaking at. Even when if you have a product, if you're doing a widget, if you have any kind of product as a business person, you need to know who's in front of you, because if you talk too slow to a Northerner, they get bored.
Well, that was another thing. We kind of recently have noticed this also. For a long time, we understand how Colorado Springs works. Colorado Springs is a large, big city. Or no, a big, small town.
It's a big, small town.
Right. So it's got its own pace. It's got things. It's high tech. There's different things here. But there's certain things here that, one, you can't talk the same way about business here as you can talk about a business in Denver. Denver, you can go into a cold situation and probably more than likely make a sale or two. You try talking cold situation here in Colorado Springs, you're going to have a tough act to follow, just because of the fact that people like to know and trust. And I know that goes true everywhere else.
Yeah, but it's a whole nother level.
Yeah,
and really if you go to my little town of Westcliff, we know they want to know you. I mean, there is no.
They want to know how many kids you got, how long you've had them, how many divorces you've had. I mean,
what's in your refrigerator? Did the last time you went hunting? I mean, they know everything about you before they're going to do
business. You
keep
peanut butter in your cabinet?
Yeah. And how long has it been there? You know. So the thing is there's different aspects of people by what region they are. And we just shared in just Colorado alone, within an hour apart of each of them, completely different people. Yep.
And so, if you go west, and you can even take it to the extreme, we did three areas. You could go also east once you start getting into the, what do you call it? The ranches.
Yeah, the huge ranches.
Now you're talking the genuine cowboy, you know, and that is a big difference than the city life.
And those are early morning people, okay?
Oh, yeah, they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And so when you say, I'd like to have a meeting at 5 o'clock, they look at you like, are you kidding? I've been up since 3. So you have to know who you're speaking to, where they are, and where they're coming from, no matter what business you're in. We take that into account because we're speakers. But whatever business you're in, you need to know, because that will help you gauge how to speak to someone, how to connect with someone. We always talk about connection in business. Know, like, and trust is more than know, like, and trust. It's more know, like, and trust and feel related to, connected to, right?
Yep, exactly.
Wow. So you've been around the world, Nye.
I got to do something here. It's driving me crazy. I don't know how long it's been there.
You misspelled subscribe.
I misspelled subscribe. I had subscribed.
So anyways.
I fixed it.
So think about your audience and who you work with and who your target audience is. And understand that you need to know your demographic so you know how you're branded.
Mm-hmm.
So as simple as with me, I'm a pretty cheery, happy person.
No, but you're exotic.
Oh, sorry. Yes, someone called
me exotic. We were told today that she's exotic.
But if you go to my website, I have like a black banner on my website. I've had people complain to me that they do not think the color black when they see me. So when they go to my website and has a big black banner, they do. It just feels kind of off because you've got a black banner. You've got to think about, is something that minuscule has people question because I have a black banner. Isn't that crazy?
I never heard that, but okay.
Yeah, I actually had someone write me and say it sets.
I don't remember yours being a black banner, but.
No, it's my purple with my thing, but around on the bottom it says speaker. It says what I am in a black banner. Right. And they said, you aren't a black banner. It should be white.
Interesting. Okay.
You learn something every day.
I'll have to look at that and see how important that is.
Important. My thing is, I've got a website and I'm not touching it because I know I'll touch one thing and a whole thing will fall apart.
Uh-huh.
So I'm
like a tower of cards.
Yeah, it's like dominoes.
Jenga.
I'm not touching that. But what do you do? How do you want to connect with people? And what market are you in? Because if you are selling widgets that are connected to horse trolleys, you better be talking horse. if you are working blah, 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 and you're working that something where high fashion models are going to be using, you better talk New York, California.
Well, it's a matter of knowing your audience. Yeah. I mean, we just said that a minute ago, but knowing your audience is very, very important no matter what it is. And we usually use the word demographic. We usually don't use audience. We need to know what our demographic is. Are they 30 to 45 year old females or, you know, males, whatever. All those things are important. I mean, you normally are not typically selling mechanical stuff to a demographic of the 30 to 45 year old females. It's not typical. It's not normal. I always use the hotel Residence Inn as a perfect example, because if you travel a lot, you recognize the fact that Residence Inn was always designed for the business guy who was coming into town for a week and he had like a small suite, or she, it doesn't matter. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I always have a kitchen. I always have a refrigerator.
Yeah, so you feel comfortable and you feel at home for that week or whatever. However, you can go driving down the road as just a whoever kind of person, stop into a Residence Inn, and get a room. Mm-hmm. It's not, they don't serve just travelers or just business people.
But they make life easier for us.
But that's where their demographic is. Mm-hmm. That their target is business people, not just the, you know, Motel 6 guy going down Missouri. Does that set a precedence of some sort? That's a stereotype,
isn't it? It's a stereotype. But I like to have the access.
Motel 6s can be kind of cool, though.
When I'm gone, when I'm traveling for a week or two, I prefer Residence Inn. So I have one, a kitchen, so I can cook my own food. Mm-hmm. I don't cook. I usually do a lot of protein shakes. I eat really clean when I eat in the room. But I want access to a washing machine and a dryer. Right. So that's one of my other things is people are like, oh, you're probably at a Marriott. Yeah, sometimes I'm in a Marriott, but usually it's something with a kitchen.
And they're not always the same. We're talking about going across the country. If you walk across the country, if you go across the country, the amenities in one area of the country in a hotel is, say, a Residence Inn, the amenities are going to be different there than they are on the other side of the country or in the middle of the country. The building's even going to look
different. What I've noticed is the further east you go, the smaller the room gets.
And the less amenities.
Uh-huh.
And it costs more money. You know, that's one thing. I've been in some really high dollar hotels across the world. Okay. I mean, the stuff that you walk in and everything is like marble everywhere and gold fixtures. I mean, I've been in all these places, but it seems like the higher you go in price,
the less
stuff. You don't have an ironing board because they expect you to ask somebody and pay for that service. Mm-hmm. They don't give you a microwave, so you can't warm up your leftovers later on.
Nope.
No, not in a high dollar motel, because they want you to go down and pay $30 for a steak a la carte,
Or $15 for a 6 ounce cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is why I travel with my protein shakes.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, but it sounds funny in a way, but it's true. And it depends on what level or what status you're at and all those other kind of things. There's tons of differences.
Speaking of high-end hotels,
yes.
I have to plug something. I'm speaking in Dubai in November.
Oh, la-di-da.
You can come too. They have a men's section. The thing is,
oh, you told me I couldn't because it was all women.
I thought it was too. And they said, no, there's a whole men's speaking section and everything. So we can look at it. But anyways, Dubai, what's funny is we've been locking down a hotel and we've only locked down 30 rooms. Okay. Mm-hmm. So after the 30, you're going to have to start, you know, haggling for your own room. Now we'll figure it out. But anyways, the lowest end hotel in Dubai is the highest end hotel in America.
No. Really? Serious?
Basically, what they said is the lowest end hotel that you can find in Dubai will probably be a high end Marriott.
Well, what's the pricing? Did you find out what it was per day yet?
Yeah, it's $300 a day.
300? That's actually not bad. Not what I would expect anyway.
Not at all. But it's all included in the price for the Dubai ticket. So you get the conference, the hotel for the 4 days, and all your food and excursions.
Hmm. I mean, because you can go to Denver and pay $250, $300 a day.
So think about
it. In Denver.
But there's a money exchange there too. So that's the whole thing is, don't judge a book by your cover, but actually understand where you're going has different expectations of acceptance. I'm about to go to Miami next week, and I'm pretty sure my hotel is going to be about $1,200 a night.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. It is going to hurt.
Yeah, but you get to see the ocean.
Yeah, because it's above everybody else. But, you know, my thing is, dang, that's going to be an expensive room. It's going to be a beautiful room, but there are no other rooms. You know, that kind of thing. To get to the event I'm at, I have to be in that area.
Yeah.
Because Miami, like LA, has so much traffic. If you say, oh, it's only 30 minutes away, I'm going to take an Uber, it's going to take you 3 hours to get there because of the traffic. You know, and so.
So to sum all of this up.
Travel.
Get out of your box. Go somewhere.
Go see how the other half lives, basically.
It's not the other thing I think of is it's not necessarily the grass is greener on the other side.
No, just know where
it's an idea of understanding what's on the other side.
Yeah, just understand where people that you interact with, where they're coming from and where their mentality is actually set. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Brian had like culture shock when he went back home to Indiana. You know, he's like, okay, they have one type of beer in this bar, and it's not one I'm willing to drink, but I'm going to have to because it's the only one there is. You know, think about things like that.
I don't know if I've been in a bar that small, but okay. But the idea is there.
Not every place is like where you are. Go explore a little bit. Go find out who you're really serving when you say, I'm an international business. Are you?
Yeah.
So with that,
plug that. And we'll call it a day.
Oh, he's so good about that. So
we've got to fill the house up, and this is a great, amazing event to have.
And it's going to be epic because I'll be almost done with my album by then. So our music album, actually, is August 9th through 11th. Okay. You see what I did? 8, 9, 10, 11. Anyways, that's why I picked the date.
That was subconsciously genius.
Thank you. So 8, 9, 10, 11. So on August 8th, 9th through 11th, my unapologetic speaker camp is here in Colorado Springs. You really want to be here. You really want to be here. I'm going to say it one more time. You really want to be here. Go to www.michellemoros.com. You can spell my name because you're looking at my name right now. Michellemoros.com. It'll be a pop-up. Say you want to come. Click the box for regular. Just come. If you want to be VIP and be on my TV show, we record on the 12th for 4 hours. So you'll be on for a 30-minute section. Some will be a 30-minute section. But we stay and support each other. So click on the button. Come join me at the Unapologetic Speaker Camp. Let's upgrade how you communicate, how you give your messaging, and how you present on stage. We have an absolute amazing time together. And we'll have a lot of fun. Come join us so you can leave a whole nother level.
And where else?
And when people say, how much do you charge for your speaking? You'll be confident enough to say what you will say after the boot camp.
And to be becoming the best you?
Becoming the best you is the end of the month. So it's August 24, 25.
But in Kansas City, so you could join us there too. We'll both be there.
Well, you're going to be at my unapologetic speaking.
I'll be at the unapologetic, but I won't be in Dubai.
No, he won't. He could. We'll talk about that offline.
Let me check my wallet.
Have a great week, everybody, and we will see you maybe next week.
Should be. Yeah. Always.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.